The following program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
What is he doing out there? All right. In 3, 2, 1, what's up, goreheads, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. I'm stumped. Hey, this is, yeah, why am I so stumped?
Good luck editing this.
Yeah. Well, I had something to say, but then I forgot what I was going to say, and now I don't remember what I was going to say.
It flew right out of your brain.
It did. Something. Yeah. So, okay. First of all, it's Nancy's birthday. So everybody wish Nancy a happy birthday. We are recording this on her birthday. She's been gracious enough to pull herself away from the festivities and,
I did. It was a very nice birthday with you and with the kids. I am overjoyed. I even got a birthday present from somebody that wasn't even my kid. So that was like,
I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
that made me feel good.
Yeah. And then, yeah, yesterday we had a nice steak and potato dinner.
It was yummy.
Apple pie for dessert. Yeah. And
a la mode.
We haven't cracked into your cake tonight, though.
Well, we can have it tomorrow.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You turn 29 and you kind of get too old to have people sing at your birthday.
It's no fun to have a party anymore.
Yeah.
When you're 29, you've outgrown it finally.
Yeah. But seriously, you know what I was thinking? When I was 23, that was 23 years ago. It doesn't seem like I'm that old.
I'm in the same boat. I mean, my birthday will be in June, but I'm in the same boat. Mentally, I feel very acute, except for the start of this episode. But physically, I feel like I'm 45.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
46.
Almost. My body thinks and knows that, you know, I'm not 29. That's what I'm just going to call my name. I'm not 29, but...
You've been 29 perpetually for, like, what, the last 7 years, 8 years?
It gets very uncomfortable for a woman. But I don't feel... My brain, I feel like I still have the mentality of somebody that's probably in their late 20s, early 30s,
maybe. You're 50-50, because you forget a lot of stuff. You forget a lot of, like, the immediate past. But then stuff that happened like,
isn't that weird?
30 years ago,
yeah,
you totally remember that.
My short-term memory is shit. I can't recall even the simplest things.
She didn't even remember it was her birthday.
Yeah. Good I had a family to remind me. No. I would forget since my wonderful twin sister decided to get married on our birthday.
Yeah.
And yeah. Steal, well, she screwed, any kind of thunder I could have had.
She screwed herself because
now Jason gets to give her an anniversary / birthday
present. Well, he's only got to give her one present.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she screwed herself. That was her own fault. I don't know why they did that. And she stole your wedding idea.
Yes.
At the Tropicana. Yeah.
Damn you, Noreen. Ben and I were going to elope.
Yeah.
And we were going to do it at the Tropicana in Vegas. And Ben said, no, I want my parents to be there when I get married.
Well, so, somebody knocked you up, so.
Well, this was before we figured that out.
Oh, that's true.
Remember, yeah. We were on vacation and we actually tried to get your mom and dad to get a flight out to Las Vegas to witness it so that they would be there for it.
Right.
And there just wasn't anything.
Because when we were going, it was over like Christmas week.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything was booked up.
So technically, we would have gotten married before we found out I was pregnant. Because that was in October or November.
No, we found out at the beginning, or like a week before Thanksgiving. And then we told my parents the day after Thanksgiving because we were scared.
Okay.
As fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we had plans to go to Vegas with your mom and dad over Christmas week. And that's when we tried to get the plane tickets for my parents to go out there. But there was none available for Christmas week.
Was that how it worked?
Yeah.
I have to trust your memory.
I remember driving through Milford and we're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a scary, that was a scary ass week.
It was.
That's just a little insight into our early beginnings.
Yeah, it was.
We had plans to get, but before anybody goes and oh my God, you got pregnant before you were. We had plans. We were engaged. We had a date set.
We were together for 3 years.
Yeah. And
we were committed to each other.
And so, yeah, we had plans. We were engaged. We had a date set for June of 99. We found out that she was pregnant because she couldn't keep her dick in her pants. And so we ended up moving the
anniversary. Well, if you would have remembered to take the pill.
Right. I don't think the NuvaRing was a thing at that time. So yeah, we ended up moving the date up to January of 99 instead. But and today's her birthday. So
That's right. But, which is amazing because I was 21 when I gave birth to our first child, and now I'm 29. Yet she
is 23. She'll be 24 this year.
Yeah. She's 23, so
yeah.
You know, it's just amazing
how it's a weird aging process.
Yeah. The clock kind of stopped for me and
so, but yes, everybody wish Nancy a happy birthday. I did it. So
thanks.
You guys can too.
It was a very good birthday.
Yeah. I hope so.
It was.
And then, well, I got her a giant cuckoo clock.
Yes.
She has a lot of collections.
Yes.
Crystal.
I collect
Polish pottery.
Polish pottery, crystal, art glass.
Murano art glass. And now cuckoo clocks.
Those little s'mores.
Oh, the little, yeah. Your mom was notorious for
getting you those. Always, every time we saw her, she'd have a new one for me.
I don't know where she got them all. I know she got some from Frankenmuth and Bronner's. And
yeah, I don't know where she got them, but it's really sad because at one point, you know, I acknowledged that I had stopped getting them, and
yeah,
because she was the one that got them for me. So, but I know she's up there watching over us, and
yeah, you can feel her.
Yeah,
every now and again.
Yeah,
you get the feeling that she's like,
oh man, I'm
hey guys, cackling.
I'm getting more and more like her by the day.
With the collections, yeah.
So. I think putting the cloth napkins and the napkin holders on the kitchen table was probably the epiphany where.
And now nobody's going to be able to use them. Those are good napkins. You can't use those.
Yeah, they're just for looks.
So.
And I got excited about ordering new placemats.
But, oh, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, we got a good episode for you today. But before we get into that, first, we would like to acknowledge our wonderful patrons, Kark, Crook, and our newest patron, Joni. So we thank you all so much for being our patrons, and we will give you a... That's the only good sound effect that's on that thing. But yeah, so we thank you guys most definitely for being our wonderful patrons and supporting our little show with your finances.
If we had more patrons, we'd probably be able to get a much better soundboard.
I know. Something with programmable buttons or whatever. But yeah, and okay, so all right. We also need to acknowledge something else. Okay. And now this, I don't know if you listeners give a shit or not, but we got a review on iTunes. Okay. And this is what the review says. Here's the title. They do not, all in caps, stay on topic. Every time they get momentum in talking about the movie, the woman goes off on a tangent and derails it. Really wish they would stay on topic more. Ally, A-L-A-Y-Y, via Apple Podcasts. Okay, Ally or Ally or Ally or whatever the fuck your name is. First of all, I'm going to assume that you are a new listener, which is why you called my wife Nancy.
Yeah, the woman.
Who is introed in every show, the woman. Okay, so first of all, she's not just a woman. She is my wife, and she is the co-host, and her name is Nancy, and we introduce her in every fucking episode that there is. Second of all, did you not read the description of the podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever the fuck you were listening? It very clearly says, we are going to talk, argue, bicker, laugh, and talk about the movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And let me just prove Ally right. We don't do this to inform people about movies.
If
a person's like, oh, this movie, I've been planning on watching it this weekend, I want to hear a review on it, then go listen to somebody else that's going to do a play-by-play of everything that happens in the movie. That's not what we do. That's not where we're about. We're about giving our opinion about the movie.
I think the biggest thing is that we're not a scripted show.
No.
We're not scripted. I mean, I say we're not scripted, but I write down, you know, major plot points, and that's what we discuss.
You keep us on track.
And then you are the color commentary. You are the joie de vivre of the show. So, Ally, whatever your name is.
We appreciate you listening.
We got one listen from them.
Yeah.
But yeah. I challenge you. If you don't think that doing a podcast is difficult, I challenge you to reach out to us on Instagram, and we will have you on a show.
Yeah.
Very much so. Welcome it. For everyone else listening, go to Spotify, go to iTunes, and challenge Ally, whatever your name is.
You can go on IMDb and get a movie review.
Well, right.
You don't have to listen to a podcast on it.
I mean, you're coming for the description of the movie, right. Yes, but you're also coming. I mean, yeah, we're horror/comedy. We're like Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Shaun of the Dead of podcasts.
We're very transparent. The phony baloney like stops here.
Right.
You know,
we give our honest opinion.
Yeah.
And
we're not afraid to call each other out on each other's bullshit. And that's why we have fun with it. It's not, I wouldn't want to give a play-by-play of every movie that we watch, because at some point you're going to be all like, all right, this is boring. I'm turning this off. So I feel good with our format that we have now. And if you don't like it, nobody is like twisting your arm to listen. You know, there's not a gun put to your head saying you have to listen to this podcast. If you don't like it, then just don't listen. But like dogging on the host and being so condescending as to call me the woman.
That's what got me the most.
Yeah, it's so archaic.
And I think this person went on to Spotify and gave us a 1-star because our rating dropped from 4.9 to 4.8.
The only thing I can think of is, aside from the fact that he's a complete dick, is...
He or she. We don't want to be gender specific.
Right. Yes. not like he or she was in their review. Yeah. I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
I don't remember. Maybe in 30 years, you'll remember.
I was making a good point leading to something, and then you came and interrupted me.
Sorry.
The man interrupted what I was saying.
Yeah. We were talking about the fuck, I don't remember. Hang on. We'll go back and listen. And we're back. We just went back and listened to what we were talking about. Okay, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, there's really no like productive reason to give a bad review about a podcast that nobody forced you to listen to. And I'm all for all for constructive criticism. If he wants to keep listening, you know, then of course, you know, make a review and let us know.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's not gonna stop, you know. If I mean That's just how we are. That's how we operate.
Yeah.
You and I just bounce off each other, and
I mean, you know, that's what we've always done.
Right. So I'm thinking it might be a competitor, maybe.
I really have no idea. I really don't know.
Because I mean, just, you know, if you have nothing to nice to say, don't say anything at all. I mean, didn't we learn that in kindergarten, Allie?
Do unto others as they would do unto you.
Yeah. How would you like somebody criticizing you for absolutely no reason in this fucking world to criticize somebody? But I digress.
This is us.
This is
who we are. This is how we are on a daily basis, crook.
don't be fooled. He likes it. He likes being put in his place.
The only thing that's missing is the whips. All right. Enough with the shenanigans. Okay. We are going to get into this. And Kirk from a podcast on Elm Street and a podcast on Fury Road has sent his Would You Rather for us this week. And it is as follows. Would you rather be out in a real world scenario of Dawn of the Dead or From Dusk Till Dawn? So essentially zombies or vampires.
So if we're talking about zombies, are we like kind of like at the idea that is usually where if they attack the brain, if you kill the brain, you kill the zombie.
In Dawn of the Dead, it would be,
and
yes.
If you have a bite from a zombie,
eventually you'll turn into one. Yeah.
On From Dusk Till Dawn, they do with vampires where if they suck your blood, right?
Well, almost From Dusk Till Dawn, I think any bite. Yeah, because Sex Machine, remember, he got bit in the neck and he eventually turned into a vampire.
So that would be like the same as Dawn of the Dead with a bite.
Well, I guess the question is would you rather deal with zombies or would you rather deal with vampires?
Well, a vampire can live on. A zombie is going to like deteriorate day by day until they're nothing but dust.
Okay.
So
then I guess the next question would be, would you rather, because Dawn of the Dead takes place in a mall, would you rather be in a mall surrounded by zombies or in a titty bar surrounded by vampires? It's a more difficult question than I thought it would be.
Yeah. I don't need to look at the titties.
I've seen your browser history.
All right, maybe I do need to look at just a little bit, but that's besides the point.
That's what incognito mode is for.
I guess I would rather be in the titty bar.
Would you rather be in the titty bar?
Yeah.
I think
I like them all and everything, but it'd get old.
I think I would rather take the vampires at the titty bar, because there's not only is it more, I mean, it's close quarters, yes, but because of the space, you're limited in the amount of vampires that can be in there. Right.
At some point, there's not going to be any more people to kill you.
Right.
And you can drink all the booze and then leave.
Right. After you kill the zombies, the vampires. Right. So yeah, I think I would pick the vampires at the titty bar, because yeah, well, you know, there's only so many people at the bar.
Yeah.
And
it's more badass, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, when you I'm thinking about like The Walking Dead, where one person gets a bite and it's just like that's the end of them, and it's really sad, and you know.
Yeah.
It really leads to nothing but their death. And it just doesn't do it for me. And like I said, a mall is fine. A mall is good. It's fun. But there's going to be a point where you're like sick and fucking tired of being in a mall.
Yeah.
And you have to be there like all the time, because the zombies are going to constantly be surrounding you.
The only good thing about the mall is that there's more room to spread out. I mean, there's more to do in a mall, obviously. But, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think in terms of survival, the bar is the better option.
I think the bar would be the more entertaining option also.
Yeah. Not just any bar or a titty bar?
Well, I would say in this particular case, it was, there was a lot of entertainment.
All right. So, okay. So there you have it, Crook. I think we're both taking the titty bar and the vampires. Good question. Good question, Kark. Very good. So now we are going to get into the movie that we watched, which is kind of fitting. And he didn't know this, but kind of fitting for the episode that we're doing today. We are doing Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge from 1989. And it does score a 5.3 on IMDb.
He's there. Behind the wall. Beneath your own feet. You all tried to destroy him. In your greed, you tore everything precious from him. But Eric remembers.
What if Eric didn't really die in that fire?
And now, Eric will make sure you remember too.
Eric Matthews is still alive.
What do you mean they know?
There's no escape from the horror. There was a nightmare at the mall. Eric the Phantom struck. Phantom of the Mall, Eric's Revenge.
Insert. A masterpiece. A cinematic masterpiece.
You know, this is one of those movies that I had seen the cover for at the movie store. And it was always like, Phantom of the Mall. You see his face. He's got the half mask on. Phantom of the Opera.
It's going to be cheesy.
It's going to be cheesy. And it was.
Yeah, that's what it turned out to be.
But it just, it was never one that was like in my scope of like, oh, I really need to see that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think for this last year, 2023, for the 31 Days of Halloween is the first time we watched it. And then as Nancy and I were going through, I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, you didn't, Allie. Yeah. I enjoy being cut off, Allie. Now, I was just going to mention that the whole mall theme.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my train of thought again.
The whole mall theme.
Where? What were you saying before?
That we first watched it for 31 Days of Halloween, and then we put it on our list of 20 random movies to watch randomly.
I have no idea.
The whole mall thing is played out. The whole mall thing is overdone. The whole mall thing is...
I think I was just going to allude to the whole fact that the joy of being in a mall really kind of ended.
Oh, yeah.
Around towards...
Well, with Amazon.
Yeah. So, and maybe in like the early teens, 2012 to 20...
Yeah, I would say 2010 to probably 2015, maybe 2014.
Well, yeah. When this was like, if you could say our like heyday.
Oh, yeah.
We were still, you know, dinosaurs and we still went to the mall on the weekends for entertainment.
Well, we met famous people at the mall.
Yes, we did.
Hockey players.
Yeah.
Out with their families.
Yeah.
They were gracious enough to.
Yeah, at Cinnabon.
Yeah, come down and sign our hats and stuff.
Yeah.
That was right after Gabby was born. So that was, yeah, middle of 99.
Yeah, it was just fun then. There's the movie theater at the Novi Mall, 12 Oaks. And they had Ruby Tuesday, like a sit-down restaurant. And it was just like, you could get there at like 5 o'clock.
Oh, you could stay until close.
And stay easily. Until closing. Yeah. Just by walking around and just like dicking around, just
FYE.
Being at the mall. Right. Exactly. Yeah. We go to like Sam Goody.
Suncoast.
Yeah, yeah. And we used to call it, you know, the place merry-go-round.
Yeah.
With the slutty clothes.
Yeah.
We called it merry-go-go-round. Yeah. But it was still, I mean, that was entertaining.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was always good for some, if you're bored, obviously. We grew up in a place that, you know, you didn't even have cable. So
that is true. I did not have cable.
We were limited to the number of movies that we could rent to the number of movies that the video stores had.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I remember there were a couple of times that we like drove through like horrible snowstorms just to get to the mall.
Oh yeah.
Just to hang out. That's where you got my promise ring, and
that's where I got your first engagement ring. You got ring.
My first Christmas present, the perfume.
Yeah.
And
was that EC?
EC, yeah. I just have a lot of good memories in the mall.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I liked. I guess that was what I was alluding to. The one thing I liked about this mall is it's familiar because you've seen it in other movies.
Oh, right. Well, which I actually wrote them down. This movie takes place at Sherman Oaks Galleria, which has hosted other famous movies such as Terminator 2, Commando, Chopping Mall, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Back to the Future 2, Innerspace, and Walk Like a Man.
Wasn't it Valley Girl also?
Was Valley Girl on there? I don't think
Valley Girl was on there.
I don't remember if that one was on there. But yeah, so I think the exterior was on Valley Girl.
No, I remember the food court because it's very distinctive.
Well, yeah. Possibly.
Anywho.
I don't know why I didn't write that one down. But yeah, Sherman Oaks Galleria, it's been in a ton of movies. But okay. Yeah, so we are 27 minutes into this. We better get to the review.
Yeah, we don't want to be off track.
Yeah, got to stay on topic.
That's right.
So, okay, the movie opens and there's somebody skulking through the mall in the middle of the night. And he's getting clothes, he's picking up weapons, and he ends up killing a security guard because the security guard caught him. And actually, we do have it on in the background on mute. So now we get the Midwood Mall's grand opening. And Morgan Fairchild, who is the mayor in this movie, she's making this huge announcement in front of a crowd.
Her face and her voice.
See, I only really know her from Roseanne, when she was dating
just
Nancy.
That one episode, yeah. She was also on Campus Man, the movie that I forced you to sit through.
I think
about
we
the
still
guy
own that one.
you remember it?
I barely.
And she was on Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
I do remember that. Yeah, at the very end.
And she wasn't on, as far as I know, she might have been on some like Oscar-winning movie. If she was, I don't know about it, but.
Soap opera star, right? Is that where she came from?
Was she?
Probably. I have no idea.
Probably.
I don't know.
This was in the 80s. So this was a little before our teenage years.
Yeah, I wouldn't have really.
We were more the 90s. So, but I mean, 80s, actually, the mall was even cooler back then. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they actually had fountains.
Places to sit.
We had a couple of fountains, I think. There was, and they had the sunken conversation areas.
Yeah, the seating places.
Yeah. Why'd they get rid of that?
Because of fucking people.
They pulled all that up. I remember it was by B. Dalton. They pulled all that up and they put Germville in there.
The little playground.
Yeah. I always called it Germville because I wouldn't let Gabby, because I had some OCD issues back then.
I remember.
Wouldn't let her play in Germville because of said
germs
name.
But yeah, so Morgan Fairchild, who is the mayor, she's making this announcement about the Midwood Mall opening, going to be jobs, going to be, you know, popular shopping and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, the biggest takeaway from this whole scene is that I noticed she was wearing this like WWF championship belt, like dress belt. And
talk about gilding the lily.
Totally 80s. Pauly Shore works at the mall. I don't know what his name is in the movie, but whatever.
We discussed, we talked about Pauly Shore. His mom owned the Comedy Store
right,
in LA.
Yeah.
And I pretty much speculated that every acting job that he got, from this movie to Encino Man to what was that other one with
Biodome.
Biodome and
Something about coming home to the family for Thanksgiving. I don't remember what
the hell it was. the woman from Gerald's Game, the wife.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I have no idea too. Anyway, they were all pretty much like I guess professional courtesy roles.
Probably. I wouldn't exactly call him a good actor.
No. But he is up for supposed to be playing on the biopic for Richard Simmons. So I would just watch it. I would just watch it just for that, because I would love to see somebody's like serious interpretation of Richard Simmons.
He can't be
serious. I defy you to, yeah, try to be serious as Richard Simmons.
So, yeah.
I know Richard Simmons because I was one of those people that didn't sleep at night and watched Deal a Meal. Deal a Meal episode. Yeah.
You were sweating to the oldies?
Not sweating to the oldies.
So Pauly Shore works at the Froyo shop. Melody, who is the main protagonist, gets a job at a restaurant in the mall. And we learn that her boyfriend died by some mysterious happenings. The maintenance man goes up into the ductwork, which the ductwork of the mall is like 7 feet tall and apparently goes throughout the entire over part of the mall. I don't even know. But
it's like a cave, cave passages and stuff that nobody else can see, apparently.
Right. So he ends up getting his face sliced apart by the Phantom when he sticks him into a ventilation fan. One of the security guards now is spying on what?
Would a mall really have a ventilation fan that big?
Probably, just to keep the air circulating.
I wouldn't think that it would have like one main air conditioning unit.
Well, it probably has air conditioning units, but it also probably has like ventilation fans.
Yeah, but wouldn't they be up on the roof?
Well, the fan takes the air, it's probably like a recirculator. Like it takes the air out and then blows it out.
Well, wouldn't have it like vertical anywhere because birds would be flying in it and shit. They would have it be like...
Yeah, but that was actually in the ductwork. So birds wouldn't have gotten in. And they would have grates over any openings, so...
Okay.
Yeah. The security guards now are spying on the changing rooms. The security guards are spying on the changing rooms, watching the girls getting changed, catching some boobies. One of them is sent to investigate a strange sound in the vents. He crawls out into the... some part of it, I don't even know. And then he gets pushed into a circuit box by some mysterious guy on a forklift. He gets shocked. His eyes pop out and somehow lands in the Froyo mix.
The Froyo mix. They had Orange Julius right across the way.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had Sparrow.
Probably.
Probably maybe a Chinese, maybe not Panda Express. I don't know if that was around back then, but there were so many more appropriate places for his entrails to be distributed into. But frozen yogurt,
well, I mean. Okay, but they set that whole thing up because when we're first introduced to Pauly Shore's character, he puts like a latex or jelly ear.
But don't you think
on one of the girls?
Yeah, and that is just too easy.
It is very easy.
I feel like the audience deserves more than that. They obviously don't think very much of their audience.
It was 1989. They didn't know better. Yeah,
so they knew that they were going to put the body parts in frozen yogurt. How are we going to make this? How are we going to introduce this? Oh, let's just have the guy that works at the frozen yogurt place put body parts in his frozen yogurt. That would be convenient.
Well, because he was trying to prank the girls.
Yeah.
So if another body part showed up, it wouldn't seem mysterious.
I feel like I feel like that is not probable in reality.
No, I mean, you have to subvert some expectations.
Well, yeah, you're right.
So, so the security guard's eye pops out and it lands in a box of frozen yogurt mix. His body ends up appearing in the mall owner's office. And we haven't mentioned yet that the mall owner is played by the most interesting man in the world. Now,
this was...
God bless my wife. I don't know how the fuck she recognized this dude from this movie from now. Because everybody knows who the most interesting man in the world is.
Dos Equis.
Okay.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Okay. First of all, not only was I amazed at the fact that she recognized the most interesting man in the world from this movie, but second of all, I was completely blown away by the fact that he is not Mexican or Spanish or Hispanic. He is an American.
We've all been duped.
That's the biggest takeaway from this movie.
And you know what?
He's not foreign.
He was so convincing in his role, and that was the only role that anybody knows him for now.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
So if he's that great of an actor, he had us all convinced that he was an older Hispanic man that was a ladies' man that knew how to drink fine beer.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. Dos Equis is kind of gross, though.
But still. I guess it depends. Depends on your beer taste. There's a lot of different ones. But yeah, he had us all fooled.
I thought he was Hispanic.
Yeah, he's like the Meryl Streep of...
beer commercial actors.
Somebody hire this dude. He's good.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. He's an American.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a short guy.
Yeah.
I believe he's Jewish and he has an accent. I don't know if this is supposed to take place in like Jersey or
I think Arizona. California.
Well, I think I saw some Arizona pennants of the guy's room, but he has a voice and accent identical to Paul Reiser
in this movie. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see that or hear that. But yeah, he is not Hispanic.
He's not Hispanic. He is and I don't even know what his name is in real life.
I don't know.
But if you wanted to do a Paul Reiser impression, he would be like spot on.
I think it was Goldman.
Yeah, okay, so okay.
Let's see here.
Now, I don't like to pigeonhole people into different nationalities, but you can kind of tell.
Who is the most interesting man in the world's name?
According to Wikipedia, the most interesting man in the world was an advertising campaign for Dos Equis beer featuring actor Jonathan Goldsmith as a bearded, debonair older gentleman with voiceovers that were both humorous and outrageous.
Goldsmith. Okay, so.
All right. If we have any Jewish listeners, I am part Jewish. It's okay. If we have any Jewish listeners.
We're not defaming.
No. Well, I don't want anybody to think that we are. I am just, and like you said, blown away at the idea that he was able to.
Fool the entire planet.
You know what I think it was? You know the guy on Kill Bill, the first volume?
Yeah.
He was Hispanic and he met Beatrice Kiddo.
Yeah.
In the bar in Mexico.
Yeah.
I feel like they put him, the most interesting man in the world, they modeled him after him.
Oh, the same guy that was on, he was on From Dusk Till Dawn. He played the sheriff. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that they said, watch this movie.
Everything comes full circle.
Yeah. Look at his mannerisms and how he talks and just exude that. In your part.
Sorry for going off topic.
Suck it, Allie.
So Melody is leaving the mall that night and she gets attacked by a masked man, and the masked man ends up getting shot by the Phantom in the arm or the shoulder with a crossbow bolt. There's a steamy sex scene, a flashback to a house fire, and Eric being burned by the creep with an earring. That's how Eric, Phantom of the Mall, ended up dying. Oh, shit, I gave it away. Oh, my bad. Spoiler alert.
Can you believe it on a movie of this caliber?
Damn it. So the Phantom is practicing the Phantom is practicing Kung Fu or Krav Maga or Taekwondo or something in this underground lair.
Jiu-jitsu,
maybe something. So he's.
Can we talk about the lair?
His lair?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
The lair is very interesting.
It's very intricate for being under the mall.
Right. It's in a cave and it's got dirt floors, but it has fabulous furniture.
He's got leather couches.
Yeah. He's got a glass coffee table and even has magazines fanned across the top of the coffee table.
He has a full stereo setup.
He's nothing if not fashionable.
he has like multiple TV sets set up.
It is like it's a rich man's lair.
This is like total Batcave.
Right. But it's dirt on the floor. If he's going to do all that, you know, watch a YouTube video about, you know, ceramic tiles. Oh, they didn't have YouTube videos back then. But I mean,
this old house.
Yeah, they could have done peel and stick.
I'm sure he had access to PBS.
He could have done like a floor framework with wood obviously he had access to like infinite number of
some kind of
different
furniture store.
Yeah, different materials he could have used.
So Pauly Shore tries to get a story about the subliminal messaging under the title or under the music playing in the mall. So he takes this reporter guy who's played by what's his name, Rob Estes.
Yeah, he's on NCIS now.
Well, he was on Melrose Place. That's where I recognized him from.
I thought he was on like a cop show, cop show.
I have no idea. But yeah, I mean, he was on Melrose Place for sure.
If you see him, you'll recognize him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So he tries to get the story written from the reporter about the subliminal messaging under the music. So he takes the guy up into the security office and they're playing the music over the thing. And then he turns off the music and under the, you can hear this voiceover that says, buy lots of clothes, buy lots of stuff, buy, you know, spend your money. Kind of like They Live, you know, obey, consume, purchase, whatever.
Or 13 days till Halloween, Halloween.
But ultimately, the reporter, Rob, said, you know, he tells him no. So, you know, it's kind of like no dice. I had to do it once because it's Pauly Shore. Peter, who's the character, he's the reporter. He takes a picture in one of the like record stores or whatever of the mysterious new guard who just happens to have this dangly earring. And a chase ensues. Now, where's the dangly earring coming, you might wonder. Well, in the flashback, after the steamy sex scene, Melody recognized the earring from the person who ended up lighting Eric's house on fire.
I did recognize that earring, and that a guy can have his ear pierced, and he could have a hoop.
Uh-huh.
And you have hoops.
Yeah.
It looks good. I like it. This guy had like a dangly, like long, like woman's cosmetic jewelry kind of earring.
I mean, I think that was the style. It was like the long dangly, like cross. And...
But this was like a, like a Liz Claiborne earring of one ear. It wasn't like a cross. It was.
No, I know. His looked like it had a charm on it.
Right. It was a lady's earring. Those are ladies' frames.
Melody is at work now and she plays the jukebox while she's doing her cleanup, and her and Eric's song plays. Peter, so the music plays. Peter comes to her at work and he says he wants her to view the pictures that he took of the security guard. Now, as they're walking past this one point in the mall, there's a piano player. And right after they walk past, the piano player gets up. He apologizes. He has to use the bathroom or whatever. So he gets up, and it turns out that he's bleeding under his tux in the shoulder, which is the same place that the attacker got hit by the crossbow bolt. The piano player was the attacker of Melody in the parking lot. Anyway, he sits on the shitter in the bathroom, and then we cut to the Phantom underneath, and he's putting something into a drain pipe. And you see him, he's trying to open up this pipe, and he's got a little like canvas bag sitting next to him, and the bag is kind of like rustling, kind of like the rabid weasels in Return of the Living Dead that they were gonna burn. So it's rustling. So the guy's sitting on the shitter, and as he's sitting there, he kind of hears a little gurgle come up from underneath him, and then a cobra pops up between his legs and apparently bites his dick or something. And then he ends up dying.
That was a lot of information to one. But I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, well, I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Don't want to go off on a tangent.
Don't want to be the woman that does that.
So the mall owner's son is hitting on Melody. He's hitting on Melody's friend. Now, the owner's son is... I don't know what character he played, but he was on Friday the 13th Part 6. He was the male. He was the one who was having sex in the RV. I don't know what his name was, but he was on Friday the 13th Part 6. So anyway, he's hitting on Melody's friend, and she turns him down. He ends up stealing a skateboard, and the Phantom, as this kid is like doing his little tricks and ollies and whatever. Nick, help me out with this one because you're the skater. But anyway, he's doing these tricks in the mall, and the Phantom ends up lassoing his neck, and he sticks the rope onto the top of the escalator, and the kid gets pulled up the escalator steps, and then finally the rope gets pulled so tight that it ends up strangling him, and he dies. Yeah.
I like, we're watching the part where she's in the lair.
Mm-hmm.
With the fanned out magazines. Oh,
he's even got candles there too.
Yeah. Dirt floor. Sand floor. There's a bust of, I believe, Da Vinci's David on. Is it Da Vinci?
Michelangelo? Some Italian. I don't know. One of the.
There's a bust
on. One of the four turtles.
On a bookcase. See?
Yeah. Is that Caesar?
It might be. He's even got a TV. Where the hell is it plugged into?
He's got four TVs cave. In there.
He's got like a massive like
might have a
spider web of,
or maybe he just hooked into the mall power
cords.
I don't know.
and workout equipment.
Oh yeah. Well, he's got you know, how else are you gonna, you know, buff up for your Krav Maga or Taekwondo or whatever?
The Phantom of the Opera mask on, and you know what? They didn't have to do that for this movie. They didn't have to make it like a. I know they thought it was an homage to Phantom of the Opera, but it was more of like a mockery of it.
They definitely could have just said Phantom of the Mall, like he's just a ghost of the mall.
Yeah, you right.
Know, people they could have been like mysterious ways from whatever.
Yeah, killer in the mall or something like that.
So anyway, Peter and Melody, the reporter and the main character, are trying to crack the case. Trying to crack the case of, you know, this guy with the mysterious earring and the fires and all this stuff. So they have this deep discussion about the night that Eric died. And for some reason, she feels it necessary to tell Peter that they had sex and Peter was going down, or not Peter, but Eric was going down on her. And then he gave her orchids. The earring guard, as they're sitting in the car talking about all this shit, the earring security guard or earring wearing security guard pulls them out of the car. Peter ends up hitting him and they run off. There's a car chase and the Phantom arrives, somehow jumps on top of the security guard's car and he ends up crashing. And I don't think he dies. Not at this point. He doesn't die yet. So
I'm looking at this. Morgan Fairchild is like the exact same height as
the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. He must be really short.
So we learn now that the owner and the dangly earring wearing security guard are in cahoots together. The owner wanted the security guard, the guy with the earring, to burn down all the houses around the mall, or not around the mall, but where the mall was going to be built, so they would force people out of the house. Peter and Melody end up digging up Eric's grave to figure out if he's not, in fact, dead or if he's in the coffin or not. They open up his coffin, and of course, he is not there.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. So, Do you see fruit salad?
I see that he had artistic freedom, and I know why he had it.
I think you see fruit salad, twig and berries.
Possibly. I know that this was a favor called in.
You think so?
Yeah. We're talking about Pauly Shore's part.
Yeah.
And the movie.
I get to that in a little bit. But no, that's fine, because I announced it. But the Phantom and the security guard battle it out in this like trash room. And of course, there's a trash compactor. Well, the guard knocks Eric into the compactor and hits the button, and the blade starts coming down slowly, slowly, slowly. And Eric is able to.
Sam Raimi-esque.
Intruder.
Yeah.
89.
Yeah.
Yes. The cardboard compactor.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one.
That was a really good observation, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Now, was that off topic or was that on topic? Because it's
comparing. I don't know. Ask Ellie. He seems to know exactly when you're being thrown off. He
or she. We don't know if it was a male or a female or asexual.
A woman would never say the woman.
You don't think so?
No.
No?
Not unless she has like a dog collar around her neck and a chain attached to her.
Okay. So yeah. Phantom and the guard battle it out in this trash room, and the guard's head ends up getting lopped off by this trash compactor, and he is dead now, finally. Melody awakens in this underground lair, which we've already discussed. Third floor has got all the fancy furniture and the TVs and everything.
Exquisitely clean.
Yeah.
And polished.
Yeah. He's got a dust hourly. So this is where we find out that finally the Phantom is Eric. Duh, because, I mean, I've already said it like 6 times.
Oh, they set this up like within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you're not supposed to know that.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be idiots.
Horror movie watchers are idiots.
Pauly Shore, you told me I could star in a movie. What movie can I star?
Yeah.
Well, we got this new one about a mall.
Son-in-Law. That was the name.
Yes,
of the movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
It just popped
God up. Bless him, Pauly Shore. I did like him in Encino Man, but it was like, you did great in that. Just walk away. Just walk away.
Going to get some sustenance.
Figures. What was it? Burnt on the outside, icicle in the middle. The burrito.
Oh, yeah, the burrito. Yeah. Okay, Susie and Pauly. Susie, that is the name of Melody's friend. Susie and Pauly Shore are on the hunt for Melody. She's somehow lost in the mall. Hijinks ensue, because why not? This is where Pauly Shore moons the security guard, and like we said a little bit before, I think you see Twig and Berries kind of hunker down inside there. They end up spotting her keys on the floor next to the vent where they are looking through the security cameras or whatever. So they end up going into the ventilation shaft, and now it's party time at the mall. That was a run-on sentence. So yeah, Pauly Shore and Susie go into the vents to look for Melody. Pause. Party time at the mall. It's like the grand opening for all these big wigs. Grand opening party. What would you call it? Like a shindig, a fiesta, big ball. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Boom, opening boom,
boom,
night.
Boom, boom, boom. Investor's ball, maybe? Hey. Yeah, something. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Extravaganza.
Extravaganza. But anyway, so yeah, there's this thing. And Eric has rigged some high explosives to blow them all up because they took his house. He's going to take the mall. Where the fuck did he get C4 from?
I don't know. I'm watching this in the background. You know, the burnt part of his side of his head, body, whatever, it stops abruptly at the chest. And that's where the makeup stopped. And they've shown a couple of different scenes where it just goes from burnt to not burnt. And I would guarantee that if you were going to be burned like that on your body, it probably would have traveled down a little bit more.
Well, they assumed it was going to kill him. So, yeah, I don't know.
I just had to, because, I mean, It's ridiculous.
Suspension of disbelief. Yes. Suspension of belief.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes. No, disbelief. Disbelief. And they're traveling through the
ventilation
obnoxiously shaft. Large
yeah.
ventilation shafts.
Could you imagine crawling through that as a kid, though?
Oh, it would have been awesome. That's what when we watched this movie, we were like, didn't we always have like fantasies about like roller skating through a mall at night mm-hmm. or driving a go-kart?
Riding a bike.
Or riding a bike.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome.
I know people turn abandoned malls into skate parks and shit like that.
Yeah, they do let like older people that want to like jog.
Oh, they walk, yeah.
Yeah.
Sport walk or speed walk.
But I mean, being like doing a sleepover in a mall and being able to do like bikes.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been like completely. That would have been like a third grader's dream.
That would have been awesome.
I'd still like to do it.
I would do it now.
Yeah.
All right, but let's get back on topic.
Okay. Sorry.
So Peter spots Eric. He follows him into the vents. He gets trapped, of course. And of course, this is, well, as he's trapped, not only does he spy dead bodies all over the place, but he also runs into the cobra mentioned before. Eric does not want Melody to leave because obviously he's still in love with her, but she has completely changed her mind. You know, obviously she's superficial. She doesn't want to be with somebody with a burned face.
Yeah, it was such unconditional love when he was good looking. But now that he's a gargoyle, she's not about that.
Gargoyle? Sly kicks?
Sly kicks, gargoyles.
Peter ends up escaping and he fights Eric. There's some, punches and kicks and bashes and bangs and stuff like that. And Peter and Melody end up splitting from the underground lair. They try to tell the mayor, and she doesn't want them to, or she doesn't believe them. So, but what she ends up doing is taking Peter and Melody by gunpoint up to the office. Eric shows up, throws her out a window. She's impaled by a model mall, like obelisk or something of the mall. I don't know what the fuck it was, but it was all lit up and it was fancy and it was supposed to be fancy. Eric is shot by Ken Foray, who's also in this movie. He misses. Eric ends up roasting the most interesting man in the world with a weed burner. Paulie, Peter, Melody, and Susie escape the mall just as it explodes. Peter kisses Melody. Everybody's in love. Pan to Eric. He is burned up for real and dead. And then the credits roll.
Mm.
That was not the most interesting movie in the world.
It was a masterpiece ahead of its own time.
It was dumb fun.
It was never, they never interviewed anybody for Inside the Actor's Studio, if you notice.
I can only think of...
the Will Saturday Ferrell. Night Live. Yeah. Like he did
Scrumptious.
He did like dumbass stupid movies.
Yeah. All right. So okay. Let's cut right to the chase. What do you put this on the gore score?
Gore score. Babe, this is a zero.
You picked it.
It's a zero on the gore score.
This was your pick for the randomizer.
Okay. It's a zero on the gore score.
Okay. And then your overall score.
I give this a 7. And I know it's hard to believe.
You are baffling.
I would totally watch this movie again, probably maybe like 5 or 6 more times because it is that entertaining.
This is
that means a lot.
You didn't hate, I don't think you hated this one. Well, you only gave The Devil's Candy a 6, I think. So
yeah, this one is just one of those fun movies to like laugh at.
It is definitely,
it's not scary.
No. I mean, I wouldn't call this a horror movie. It falls under the horror category.
It's like absurd, and that's what the intriguing part of it is.
Yeah, yeah.
The absurdity of this. Look at that makeup.
Yeah, you can see it's folding.
It's horrible.
So okay. I'm gonna go a little higher than you on the gore score because you do see a couple bodies and some blood, but it's only about a 3 at max.
Wow,
probably not even that. I would say like a 2.5.
All right.
And then for my overall score, That one I'm going to go a little lower and go with 6. It was entertaining in the fact that, yeah, like you said, you can laugh at it.
See, and it's I would get this one on DVD.
Okay. This is one of those no-brainer movies.
It's just fun. It's a fun movie to watch.
I mean, yeah, it's a no-brainer movie. You put it on when you just want something like cheesy and goofy to watch, but it's still technically a quote-unquote horror movie.
Yes, yes. If you want a movie that you can watch while you're like knocking back a few, this is a perfect movie for that.
I mean, it's cheesy to the point of entertaining. And like I said, it's technically horror because they do show some blood and they show, you know, people getting killed. But, you know, it does have the most interesting man in the world. It's got Weasel from, Encino Man in it. And,
Morgan Fairchild,
some badly, like modulated voicing on the Phantom of the Mall / Eric. But yeah, I don't know.
It's fun. It's just a fun movie to watch. If you just wanted, like I said, if you wanted to sit and drink and just have a few laughs, this would be such a fun movie to watch because you'd be laughing, not like shrieking.
Yeah.
But the fun of it is that it's not intended to make you laugh.
I don't think so.
It's intended to make you be scared.
Well, you're supposed to be,
right. And it's so this movie is better. What was the Friday the 13th where they did the stupid music to like what was going the dumb like orderlies or?
Oh, that was Halloween 4.
Halloween,
I believe. Yeah,
or Friday the 13th.
It was the dumb cops. Halloween 4. They did the boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. This is better than that.
Well, it was Halloween 4, so.
Well, yeah. I was thinking about the one, the Friday the 13th, with, they did, like, I don't know how to describe it, like, yo-yo sounds during the guys that drove the ambulance.
Was Jason ever in an ambulance?
It may have not been Jason, but there were some, like, two idiots that drove the ambulance.
I'm pretty sure it was Halloween 4, and I don't think that, you're thinking of the cops. You gotta be.
I'm thinking it's a Friday the 13th. Oof. All right. Well, to be continued, we'll have to find out who's right.
We'll find that one out. Noreen's got a copy of Halloween 4, probably 3 different copies, digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. Actually, I don't think they own a Blu-ray player.
It's Noreen's one of Noreen's favorite movies, so. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. 4 was the last time Halloween was any good.
2018 was good.
Well, yeah, except for modern times. 2018 was good, except for the one guy with the curly hair.
The overgrown midget.
Yeah, he.
Sorry, overgrown little person.
Just rubbed me the wrong way.
But, okay. So, we are Ben and Nancy. This is Extreme Horror Replay. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast.
And we have no apologies for how we conduct our podcast because this is how we are in real life. And don't mess with our dynamic.
And Crook, like she said, sarcasm and...
That's my love language. Provocation.
Provocation. Sarcasm and provocation are her love language. So relax, dude.
That's right.
It's all in good fun.
You know, when that happens, you know, he's getting something in return. So don't feel too sorry for him.
So, anyway, Extreme Horror Replay. We are on Instagram at XHR_podcast. We do have a Patreon at www.patreon.com/XHR podcast. We do want to thank again our patrons, Kirk, Crook, and Joni. Crony? We got to come up with a nickname for Joni.
Yeah, let me think about it. I'll have one.
All right. So we'll get back to you, Joni, on that one.
Yeah, Joni, I'll think of one, and it won't make you look bad, I'm sure.
She's only known you for 29 years.
That's my sister.
But anyway, yes, we do very much thank you guys. You can check all the information on the link tree, on Instagram, in the bio. And we're going to say goodnight. So
thank you to all of our listeners.
Thank you to all of our listeners.
Even the ones that offer constructive criticism, even the ones that think that they're offering constructive criticism, we do appreciate you listening. And sorry, we got to listen off you. So if you don't like it, but we hope that you keep on listening, and we hope that you just get used to our dynamic, because this is what our show is all about.
This is what we do. So yeah, we will bid you all good night, and we will talk to you next week. So
I'll do.
So I will say, stay thirsty, my friends. Stay safe and be good to one another.
Auf Wiedersehen.
All right. We are out. So bye.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good day.